I have never done coffee chats, nor have I ever grown my business through coffee chats. They tend to be very popular, even in the advance. And I'm very transparent by saying, like, this is not how I've grown my business. If you all want to do it, feel free. But from my perspective, one of the benefits of being in something like the advance is that it's a one-to-many opportunity to meet people. It's not a one-on-one. It's a one-to-many opportunity to meet great people with a variety of different formats that we offer. Mini masterminds being one of them, speed networking being another one. We have connection events as well. And I would rather meet somebody at a connection event, much like you and I connected, and then take that relationship offline once you find that you have common ground.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. And if you are new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the unvarnished truth of what it really takes to launch and build a scalable and sustainable coaching or consulting business. And today we're talking about relationship marketing and the easiest way to generate consistent lead flow into your ecosystem with ideal clients who are really primed to do business with you. And my guest today is Laura Meyer. Laura is the CEO of Joy Brand Creative. She's also co-founder of the Advance Network for Women Entrepreneurs. And it's how we met. So welcome to Life After Corporate, Laura.
Oh, it's such a joy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. And I know the conversation we had yesterday that you don't have a long corporate experience, that you were there for a hot minute and then went on to jump on the entrepreneurial path. But share with us, what is your journey? What got you to where you are now?
Yeah. So I've been an entrepreneur now for 20 years, which means that I started when I was 9 years old. You're just kidding. I was about 2 years out of college before I realized that entrepreneurship was going to be my path. So I was in corporate for about 2 years. I was in organizational development. And then over the last 20 years, I've moved from the photography space where I was a well-known wedding photographer in my 20s, and then actually photographed many weddings where you live, Deb, in the eastern part of New York. And then I also went into children's portraiture. So I had one studio, then I opened two, then I started franchising. And then as the photography industry shifted about 4 years ago, I decided to pivot and start my career over as a consultant and in the online space, and achieved a couple different certifications for online marketing, which marketing had always been my love when I was running a brick and mortar franchise company. And it brings me to today, where I have a couple different products going on, one of which is How We Met, which is the Advance Women's Expert Network. And then also, I am a consultant to many of your listeners' probably favorite influencers. And I also have a consulting incubator. So lots of fun things going on. And I'm also a mom to three who are 2, 7, and 9. I'm a very dedicated but rusty tennis player and live in Pennsylvania. So that's about me.
And I hear you have a dog.
I do have a dog. She's the worst behaved dog in our neighborhood. Back when we were all in Clubhouse, I was on a large audience Clubhouse when she dove into the neighbor's pond, and I had to fish her out while I was co-hosting a big Clubhouse talk with a big audience. And the people that I was on the panel with, like, still remind me of when I was multitasking and they were hearing all the splashing in the background and I was trying to be somewhat articulate.
Yeah, we got to love the pets who love to get in on the action too. Yeah. So I know that referrals are important to you, right? And creating a consistent stream of qualified referrals was one of the reasons for launching the Advance Expert Network, which I am a part of, and I adore everyone that I've met through that program. Lots of new colleagues, potential clients, and certainly clients and referral partners and people I will do business with. So it's been a real powerful experience for me. And it's an area that people really struggle with.
Yeah.
And I know my clients who are coaches and consultants are struggling with it. I know many of us are being bombarded on a daily basis with text messages on social media, with people dropping links and selling you stuff that you don't want. So how do you go about creating a system so that you have a steady stream of qualified referrals who are excited to do business with you?
I love that you're asking me this, Deb, because in the first 10 years of my career, I grew a business to about seven figures, which was my original wedding photography business, through relationships. And at the time, there was blogging, but that was about it. I think Zuckerberg was probably still filling out his Harvard application when we were, you know, when I was participating in referral marketing. So now I think a lot of people don't know how to go about it because there's so much noise in the marketplace that makes it kind of confusing. But if you look back on what worked before social media even existed, it's the same things that work today. It's the idea of developing a relationship with a potential partner by first establishing credibility. So for example, I was never going to cold call the Four Seasons in Philadelphia and get on their coveted, one of the five spots of their coveted referral list by sending them a DM. Like that would never have happened. I would have done it by continually building up my credibility in the community, getting published in popular magazines, developing my own authority in the marketplace. And then once I eventually got invited to the Four Seasons, I would over-deliver, send lots of photos, make sure that my clients knew how important it was for me to get on that list, get in with my clients, like basically just keep building so much credibility that people are, automatically think, well, gosh, you know, Laura must be somebody who's really helpful to refer to my client base. And remember, when people refer you, yes, they want to connect other people, but in a lot of ways, we're all just kind of looking out for our own backs, right? And if the Four Seasons referred me and I was a flake, that would really reflect poorly on the Four Seasons. So that same dynamic happens in the coaching and consulting industry. I need to make sure that you are who you say you are, that you are credible, that you know what you're doing, that you know what you're saying, that you're good at getting results for your clients before I'm going to open up my relationships that reflect on me, depending on how that connection goes. So I think it's really important for people to understand that they first need to start with credibility. Sending somebody a message saying, hey, can I pick your brain? Or hey, can you refer me? That is really the least likely way to turn into a referral. It's probably the most likely way that you are going to be frustrated by not getting any referrals.
Yeah. So what is that way that you can establish that credibility so that when you do make a connection, or better yet, you're creating that demand where people are coming to you and asking for that appointment. So it's less push out into the marketplace, but more receiving people who are excited to get on your calendar.
Yes, it's so important to do this in the right order, right? And so when we think about developing that credibility in the marketplace, a lot of times that starts with our own visibility. And I think a lot of people are out there with their hand out, and we've all been on the receiving end of that. That doesn't feel good. But if you have a platform that you're dedicated to growing the second step, which is visibility on, where you are promoting your thought leadership, where you're sharing your perspective, your unique perspective on the industry or category that you serve, then people are going to start noticing you, and others that you would seek to get into a referral partnership with often start out as great collaborators. And I've gotten to the point on my podcast where I am not looking to feature people that are not participating in a reciprocal exchange. So this dynamic between you and I, Deb, is a perfect example of this. We realized we had a lot in common, that we really have similar values and beliefs through connecting from a couple of different places. And I said, I can't remember if it was you or me, but we said, why don't we do a podcast exchange? I think that we could really bring value to one another's audiences. And it's an easy yes, right? And even if you have a starting out podcast or you have a small LinkedIn following, rarely is somebody going to say, well, how many how many weekly downloads do you have? I mean, I've pitched so many people and I've never been asked that except once by one guy who I didn't even really want anyways. But I've had pretty big people on my podcast and it's an easy ask to the degree to which that's a focus for them right then. But even for people that you are might be evenly matched with, maybe of a similar audience size, maybe you both have small audience sizes, developing a reciprocal collaborations is one of the best ways to establish credibility. Is when you show up on time and you are prepared with value to provide and the professionalism is at a high level, that in itself, just between that exchange, develops so much credibility between the two of you.
Yeah, that's such a great, great point too. And so many people get into communities and they're asking for something, right? Instead of thinking, how can I serve this community? You know, what does this community need? And that spirit of generosity really pays off. So that's the credibility. So what's the next step after you found the right community and you've established some credibility? How do you continue to nurture that?
Yeah, I really believe that first of all, you have to keep track of your connections. So many smart experts are out there trying to create new leads and new connections, and they're developing new lead magnets, completely disregarding the fact that they have 15 or 20 years of networks that they are not capitalizing on in terms of communicating their thought leadership. So what I typically do is recommend that people actually have a tracking system, a sales pipeline, but for your referral partners, not necessarily only for your clients. And as part of that system, when people are a good match, so Deb, you and I are a great example of this. We're a really good match. We're a complement for one another's offers. You've invited me into your program to be a guest speaker. I was delighted to do it. And that's a great relationship. So don't be surprised. And if a month or so you get a message from me and I say, hey, Deb, how are you doing? How's it going? It was so nice collaborating with you. What are you working on? And that is just a great way to touch base with people, just like you would follow up with a client to stay top of mind with somebody else that you think would be a great complement to your business. The reason why you and I are such a great complement is because I provide an environment in which your students could actually increase their success, right? And that's what we want to be thinking about. What other business partners out there are a complement to our businesses that makes sense paired up with our businesses that we can get into exchanges with over time and elevate one another? Because there might be somebody in my audience who's not a fit for what I have to offer, but a perfect fit for your program, Deb, and vice versa. And when we are willing to show up for the networks that we have and simply participate in collaborations, I'm such a strong believer in that for expert businesses, there is no better way to develop your business for business development activities. Because if you try to reach out to cold traffic, it is a very tough sell to build up that credibility in such a short period of time that you can charge a premium price. But when we are, you know, because of the trust that you and I clearly have in one another, it extends to one another's audiences, and that's where we can start increasing our visibility.
And that extends to places like the Advance Expert Network and others. So I have a basic philosophy that I want to show up. I want three networking communities where I can contribute as an expert, where I can serve and deliver great content, deliver great training, and that also become referral ecosystems for me. And when you said tracking, I think it's so super important to track where your leads are coming from. So I know in the accelerator, I share a conversion tracking sheet so that you track all the conversations you have. Where did that person come from? Where were they referred to you? And if you analyze that on an annual basis or a quarterly basis, what I began to see was that there was one particular network that I belonged to where I was getting so many referrals that I decided that I would volunteer in a leadership role. Because if I amplified my expert status, the thought was that I would exponentially grow the number of leads. And what happens when you do that is now you have a community of clients who have been satisfied in working with you and are referring other people. So just today, I had a conversation with someone who said, I'm in for the Launch Lab. I know I have to do this. And everyone else has said I should do it too. Because, you know, if you're in, like, we have the pop mini masterminds in the Advanced Network, then you start populating those networks with people who have already worked with you, and they're your best referral partners.
Yes, it's so, so true. I find that getting into those types of communities and exhibiting credibility on a consistent basis develops those referrals. Happy customers, like you said, that take place within a community and are promoting you turns into referrals. And I've also found that collaboration partners, somebody that maybe you've just done a podcast exchange with once or twice, or a LinkedIn exchange, that tends to be really valuable, because as you're getting to know the other person and they're getting to know you, I've had people at the end of a podcast episode, and you may have experienced the same, turn off the recording and say, I think I actually need you. Can you tell me what it is that you do again? Because it's such a credibility builder when you are sharing your story from your perspective with your values, experience, and beliefs. And somebody might have a random connection with you. They might really like me because I play tennis, right? And that helps you stand out from all the other experts that might be in the same description as you, but don't have your unique perspective on what it is that you do so well. And so that's why I love the collaborations and just getting into relationships. But then, as you said, like keeping track of them. In the tracker that I use that's part of a template, I actually put their photos in it. And, you know, a photo of their podcast cover or a photo of them from their LinkedIn profile, because I find it humanizes the experience of following up. And it's not just a number, but it's Deb, who I had a great conversation with. And it was so nice of her to participate in that collaboration exchange. I haven't seen her in a while. Maybe I should probably follow up and see how she's doing. Something, a little hack.
And, you know, that takes it away from the transaction into the relationship mode.
Yes. And I think for so many of us, we have been conditioned by transactional interactions as a result of social media. And listen, like, social media is not bad. I specialize in social media strategies for many of my clients. With that said, where it gets us in trouble is when we replace real, authentic human connection with what we think is going to be this enormous cattle call, you know, to our offers or to our launches, when the human experience and authentic connection is actually something that can make your business run so much easier, so much more smoothly, particularly if you're high ticket, particularly if you're premium priced. If you're selling a $27 thing, you need to sell a lot of them. It needs to be a cattle call. But if you are selling high-end, premium-priced, service-based professional services, expert services, much like many of your listeners, you can have freakishly high conversions with the people you talk to. Like, I have a pre-qualification process, but I convert pretty much everyone I talk to for my consulting business and for my incubators, because there's such an authentic connection that's established throughout the process.
Well, I know you are a social media expert and an online marketing expert, and we didn't talk about this before we hopped on the call today, the podcast recording today. How do you bring the relationship factor into your online marketing strategy? Any thoughts on that? Because we all know what's not working. What's not working are those messages. You know, I got one yesterday, I'd like to pick your brain. And, you know, just the visceral reaction to that statement is like, oh no, you don't get to do that. My clients get to pick my brain as much as they want, but you are a complete stranger and I don't know who you are. And then the next sentence was, I'd love to schedule 20 minutes for a coffee chat. Yeah. So we know what not to do. So how can we use social media and our expert platform to create relationships?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring up coffee chats. I have never done coffee chats, nor have I ever grown my business through coffee chats. They tend to be very popular, even in the advance. And I'm very transparent by saying, like, this is not how I've grown my business. If you all want to do it, feel free. But from my perspective, one of the benefits of being in something like the advance is that it's a one-to-many opportunity to meet people. It's not a one-on-one, it's a one-to-many opportunity to meet great people with a variety of different formats that we offer. Mini masterminds being one of them, speed networking being another one. We have connection events as well. And I would rather meet somebody at a connection event, much like you and I connected, and then take that relationship offline once you find that you have common ground. So in terms of, I know that doesn't, we're going to get to social media in a second, but I did want to touch on that because I think some people get very confused and very overwhelmed by having like 2 or 3 hours of coffee chats on their calendar per week and then feel like relationship marketing doesn't work, which isn't the truth at all. It's just that getting in a bazillion coffee chats is probably not the best use of time. When we look at social media, I think it's really important to understand that you're going to have 3 buckets of the types of people and the connections that you make online. And the first bucket is the people who are in your audience. So the person who connected with you and wanted to get into a coffee chat is probably somebody in your audience. And while the request is not super reasonable, because if you got into a coffee chat with everybody in your audience, you would never have time for anything else. And at the same time, those people are valuable in your audience. They can often, what I'll often say is, hey, I don't have any capacity for coffee chats this month, but share with me a little bit about, you know, any questions you have or what you're looking for. That would really help me out a lot. And if it's not something that we have, you know, on file, that's content that's already recorded, like a podcast episode. If it's a podcast episode, I ask my social media manager to, you know, send it over and customize the response, because, you know, that's helpful to that person. That adds value. That, again, humanizes the relationship building experience. If it's somebody who they ask a really good question I haven't thought of and it's not in our content, well, great. You know, now I have a new idea for a podcast episode. So that was really valuable in itself. So I think redirecting those situations is very helpful. And then if you know that you're in somebody's audience, chances are, like if I reached out to Oprah and I asked her for a coffee chat, chances are the answer is no. Although, Oprah, if you're listening, please call me. But I think that, you know, it's also kind of knowing that nobody is better than anyone else in the online space. But for the most part, people are looking for even exchanges. For the most part, people are looking for reciprocity. So the second category is matchers. Deb, you and I are matching right now. Like, we are creating this exchange. We realize we have a similar business experience, business size, similar audience size, and it's a great exchange. It feels very fair to be an exchange. And I think you have to find other people and seek them out where it feels like a fair exchange on both sides. And those are the people that you want to go deep with. Those are the people that you could even grow up with. So it may be that 3 or 4 years, you're both, you know, have huge audiences and lots of influence and best-selling books. And what an amazing experience it is that you both grew up together, sort of speak, in the industry. And now you have this really influential business bestie, right? And so that's wonderful. And then the third type is people that you aspire to be like, or that you aspire to be in with. And it's very important to be cautious about how you approach that person, because if you ask them to, you know, pick their brain, like, for example, you know, I use the example with Oprah. If I messaged her and asked her to pick her brain, that's an extreme example. It would be a ridiculous request. And so I think just kind of knowing this person might have a bigger audience, they have more influence in the space, but messaging them not with, can I pick your brain, but I loved your most recent podcast episode. I read your book and it changed my life. Everybody will acknowledge that message. And now you've gotten on the radar with somebody who's maybe a few steps ahead of you, and you've established credibility in the best way possible.
I love that. And, you know, it also applies to this new and very, very growing trend called social selling,
yeah,
right? So much of social selling is like a random message out of the blue from someone who didn't even look at your LinkedIn profile, doesn't know what you do or how long you've been in business. And I think there's an opportunity to leverage technology, but also make sure that you're connecting on a real basis. And I think if you do that, you will stand out from all the other messages in the feed and may get more success that way. And I know it's difficult to scale, which is why we tend to scale that strategy with humans who are having this human interaction. And I think it was Kelly Roach who said, you know, if you wouldn't say it to someone in a networking meeting, then you wouldn't say it to someone in an online message either. And so that's been super valuable. So, Laura, thank you. This has been a really rich discussion. If people want to know more about you, either Joy Brand Consulting Joy Brand Creative, or your incubator or the Advance, how do we get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. My maiden name is Novak. So Laura Novak Meyer, if you find me on LinkedIn, that's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me. And I know many of your audience members are on LinkedIn. And then I also have a great little mini workshop called Referral Code. And it's referralcodeworkshop.com. And you can go there, check it out. It's very affordable. It's $37, but it'll really help you learn how to think about setting up your business to get a steady stream of referrals, but it'll also give you the templates and the systems for actually keeping track of your connections and your leads so that it makes it really easy for you to follow up on a regular basis. So that's referralcodeworkshop.com.
Great. I've got that. .com.
Yeah.
All right, great. We will share that in the show notes as well. And what about the Advanced Expert Network for those people who are interested in joining a network of mostly women entrepreneurs? We have our ambassadors as well who join the program and who are super supportive of the women entrepreneur community that they're a part of. But how do people get engaged in that?
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, the two brave men. I think, so if you purchase the referral code workshop, that will put you onto the wait list for the Advanced Women's Expert Network. And we open up registration again, depending on when you're listening to this, in August of 2022. You can also go to advancedexpertnetwork.com and jump on the wait list that way as well.
That's great. I'm an OG in the Advanced Network. I think I was one of the first cohorts, but I was soon thereafter. And it's been a super valuable experience for me. Wonderful connections. I love my Monday mastermind, mini mastermind group. So many wonderful people in that community. So thank you so much, Laura Meyer. It's great to have you here, and I'll see you again real soon.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone, that's it for now. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.